Well, it's good to be back here after 2 weeks of not being here. The last couple of weeks have been a lot of disruptions, as mostly has happened throughout COVID. A lot of disruption, a lot of chaos, but also some really beautiful blessings in the midst of it. And I'm so grateful for that. And one of the blessings of the last weeks has been meditating continually on this idea of Jesus coming and speaking peace. Sandy said in the praying in the prayer time on Tuesday night, this idea of Jesus speaking peace to us. And we're going to look at these verses today as we think about what it looks like for Jesus to come and speak peace. It's brought a lot of beauty into my life the last week. All right, but just to review where we're at, again, a lot of things coming at us in the last couple weeks. And so just to review where we're at with this in our year of relationships again, you remember in January we looked at the centrality of relationships in how God created us, that relationships are not just a part of our life, but they're actually central to who we are as human beings. And then in February we went even deeper into that, looking at the image of God and how we are, how that defines us and shows us the incredible value and depth of each person that we meet, that we are created in the image of God. And then in March, we talked about how sin destroys that image. And part of the destruction of the image of God in us is the destruction of our relationships, the hindering of our relationships, the closing, the marking of our relationships that don't allow them to be the life-giving force that God intended them to be when he created us. And then since Easter, we've talked about how the gospel, a key part of the gospel is how it restores us to the image of God that then allows us to flow into the relationships with God and others that he has created us for, allowing those relationships to be the power in our lives to be to represent God in the world as he originally created us. So we want to just, as we think about relationships, we always want to come back to that reality that our hope for healthy, open, loving, mutually submitted relationships is the power of God restoring his life in us and then allowing that life to flow to others. There is simply not a hope that we can live, that we can be a people where God lives by his Spirit unless each of us is encountering the power and transformative grace of God in our lives. Simply not available. We can live okay with some people. We can have nice relationships, but living in unity with people that in a difficult times, with people that are difficult for us or with whom we heartily disagree, is only possible by the grace of God's Spirit. And so we need to keep crying out for that, for each other and for ourselves. God, transform me. Restore your image in me. And that happens both so that we can enter into relationships and then through those relationships. As Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what good is that? That's not who he's created us to be. He's created us to be perfect as he is perfect, loving even those who don't love us back. And so our scripture today picks up where we left off on Easter Sunday. We talked about this incredible roller coaster that the disciples were on through the whole time with Jesus, and then especially through Passion Week, into the cross, and then the resurrection, up and down, the highest hopes and the lowest despair that any human could imagine encountering in their lives, these disciples went through in only a few days. And here we find them again on this crazy roller coaster, hiding in locked door for fear of the Jews. That's the setting of John 20. They're hiding in locked doors for fear of the Jews. And rightly so, right? What else could they do? They just watched their leader be crucified. They were sure they were next. So they locked the doors, hid, and they waited. Now we can only imagine what they were expecting to happen, what they were hoping for, what their conversation and thoughts were as they're locked in this room, hiding and waiting. But probably what they were not expecting was for Jesus to walk through the locked doors and show up in their presence. But that is exactly what happens. And that is the first beautiful, amazing picture of this scripture. That these disciples, who only days before had abandoned and denied Jesus in his darkest hour, who are now fearful, for they are also going to die, Jesus walks in and he addresses none of that. His words are simply, "Peace be with you." Isn't that beautiful? And wherever you're at this morning, at any point in your life, whatever doors you've locked or others have locked you in, Jesus not only is able to see and understand where you are, but he is able to meet you in that place. That's beautiful. Just like Carmen was saying, right? It's in those places of awkwardness, or in those places of fear, in those places of confusion, in those places of anger, mistrust, chaos. Jesus not only sees and understands, but he shows up. Even into those places of our hearts that we don't want him to go, we don't want him to see, he sees it. And not only does he see it, he's able to get there. And he's able to speak peace. There are 1,000 reasons why these disciples should not be at peace at that moment. And there is only one good reason why they should. Because Jesus is alive. And he's with them. And we see these disciples going from fear to overjoyed because one thing changed. Jesus was with them. That's our first reflection this morning. Have you encountered Jesus in that way? Where there was fear and chaos and confusion, and nothing else changed about the situation except you had a deeper awareness of the presence of Jesus with you, and that brought peace. That's what happened to these disciples. And that's the reality of what it means when Jesus steps into our situation and speaks peace. Nothing outwardly has to change, but inwardly the reality is different because Jesus met us in that place. So hear those words again. Jesus meets you right where you are this morning, right in all the thoughts and feelings and situations of your life. He meets you right there, and the first thing he wants to make sure you know is his peace. Peace be with you. Can you receive that this morning into all the parts of your heart and mind? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And then he goes on, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side. That's verse 20. And the disciples are overjoyed. Why? Because they know this is really Jesus. And again, he says to them in verse 21, "Peace be with you." And if you read back through John 14, 15, 16, this word of peace be with you is the one thing that Jesus wants to make sure they do not forget. Peace be with you. Of all the rest I'm saying, it all finds its foundation in this reality that Jesus has given us peace. Glorious, glorious peace. But he doesn't end there. And we're not going to be able to unpack most of the rest of this verse, but this morning we're going to get to it. His first thought is peace be with you. And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So again, he doesn't address their fear. He doesn't address their failings. None of that is what is on his mind at this moment. He wants to remind them that he has given them a work to do in the world. Guys, don't forget. Just as I came into the world, now you are going into the world to be restoring. But what about? None of that is on Jesus' mind. But just in case they forgot to, he says, and with that, he breathed on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, and now here's your power to do it. To be the same life-giving force that I was in the world. Receive the Holy Spirit. empowers them for their calling. And then he goes on these last verses in verse 23. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. We're going to spend time unpacking that on another day. And certainly I don't understand all of what that means, but there's certainly a deep authority and responsibility that Jesus is imparting to these disciples to carry forgiveness into the world as a key part of what it means to be the people of God in the world. Now, there are many ways we can think about what it means that Jesus sends us into the world, but at least part of it, and a very central foundational part, is that we are carriers of this incredible gift that Jesus released in the world on the cross of forgiveness. And if it is sin that destroys our relationships, then it is forgiveness that sets the stage for the restoration of our relationships. And if we are going to be a people that are about restoring people's relationships with God and each other, if that's our central to who we are as the people of God, then forgiveness is the foundational tool that God has given us to make that happen. It's not the only tool. There's more work than just forgiveness in relationship, in restoring them. But forgiveness is always the first step. It is forgiveness that opens up the potential for all the destruction of sin to be overturned. The restoration of relationship with God and people begins with forgiveness, because we are all broken. As we said, yes, God has called us and empowered us to be his people, to be a people where he dwells by his Spirit, to be a people so full of love that we're ready to die for our enemies. But for God's sake, don't think it's going to be easy. Right? Because we all come into this family, we all come into this community broken with our own little quirks and issues. And it is only as our core posture towards each other is forgiveness that we can walk in those relationships and grow towards them. We're going to talk a lot more about forgiveness as we continue to unpack this idea of the gospel restoring relationships. But today we just want to focus on this peace that Jesus brings to us. As we receive Jesus' peace, the core of why Jesus can speak peace to these disciples is because he has clarified their relationship with the Father. And as we receive his peace, as we know my relationship with God is clear and open and free, that my belonging and significance, as we talked about before, the deepest needs of me as a person are met in this relationship with God, that I don't have to meet them and I don't need you to meet them for me. Now I'm able to walk into the world at peace. And as I receive again that power of the Holy Spirit to live not from and for myself, but from and for God, then I become a person who can walk into the pain and brokenness of the world and release healing and life everywhere I go. That is what Keith was talking about last week when he said, when you're pressed, what kind of juice comes out of you? Right? We've all been pressed in many ways in the past year, and we got to see what kind of juice came out of it. Certainly I got to see some juice that was very sweet and some that was pretty sour. But that question is not primarily, am I doing good or not doing good? That question is primarily about, how can I allow the Spirit of God to come into my life in deeper and deeper ways? So that when I'm squeezed, all that comes out of me is love. Just like Jesus on the cross, absorbing all the hate and pain of the world and giving back love. That becomes the model for how we live in our relationships. That we become a people that are able to absorb the hurt and pain of the world and offer back love. So that we can proclaim peace to people, right, Sandy? Everywhere we go. For the little things and the big things of life. So this is going to be our question as we finish this morning. And we think about this peace. With who and how Is God calling you? Is God calling me to be a vessel of peace this week? With whom? In what relationships? In what situations is God calling me to step into? And not fix it, not change the whole situation, not necessarily even know how to make it better often, but to step in and say, hey, I don't know all that's going, but peace to you. Let's start there and just receive the peace of God so that we can be carriers of that peace into the world. Let's pray together. Just invite you to open your hands if it's helpful, and just in a whisper or silently, just say those words, Lord, I receive your peace today. And maybe you can picture a relationship or a situation where there's not peace. And probably in this moment, you can't do anything about that situation or that relationship, the state of it. But as you think about that, let's just say, Lord, I receive your peace into that situation. But I receive your peace into that relationship. I receive your peace into that confusion. And even in our physical bodies, the peace of God is holistic. Body, soul, and spirit. So even broken places in our body or the bodies of others, we say, yes, Lord, we speak your peace. We receive your peace today, Lord. We receive your peace, Lord, so that we can be speakers of that peace, so we can live in that peace, and we can testify to its reality. That even in the situations that are chaotic, even in the situations that are broken, even in the situations that are beyond our control, as these disciples were facing, we can stand in those places and we can say, yes, in the midst of this situation, there's still a peace that Jesus brings. And from that place, we can begin to work at all the different issues that are before us. We receive your peace again today. Thank you, Lord, that you have said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." It's here because your presence is here and we receive it again this morning, Lord. Help us to receive it more deeply this week than we ever have before and to live from that place of peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.